Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Welcome back, everybody. This is going to be the ride of your life. I'm so excited for. I have had the opportunity of knowing this guy for quite some time. And I want to make sure that you guys get to know him at a different level. I've had him on before, and we talked about some really cool stuff. I mean, the guy's totally brilliant. I mean, rocket science, brilliant type of stuff. But the cool thing is he's not only, it's, so first of all, before I go on about him, I want to, introduce Mr. James P. Friel. Welcome to the show.
Dave, I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you for having me, man.
So this is one of the things, you're one of our two Comma Club ex-coaches, which is amazing and super cool. You've actually been here at ClickFunnels. You've helped us for the last 6 months, systematized a ton of the stuff. And I think at times you kind of get pigeonholed in this Trello guy. And I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So I want to break that code right now. Again, you're the CEO, co-founder, or basically CEO and founder of the Autopilot Entrepreneur, which is just a super cool concept. And I think the part I'm liking the most right now is we're just talking offline about your new website. And this whole idea as far as that you help entrepreneurs systematize the game to grow and scale your business, own an asset that works for you, enjoy freedom, income, and peace of mind is the stuff that I just love, especially this whole idea as far as systematizing the game. I know you got a new book coming out, and you've just got so much crazy, awesome stuff going. So with that, everybody, again, I wish you guys could stand up and give a huge welcome and round of applause to Mr. James P. Friel. But James, again, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, it's my pleasure, man. It's always always amazing talking with you and getting to hang out. And I think, for me, business is a game, right? Business is, in my opinion, one of the coolest games imaginable. There's so many moving pieces and parts. There's people, there's customers, there's employees, there's technology, there's like all these different things going on. And, for as long as I can remember, I always want to know like, all right, well, how does it all work? Right. And that's sort of been a very like driving thought of mine most of my life is like, how does everything work? I love figuring out how things work. Like when I was a kid, I took everything apart to try and put it back together. And I feel like that passion and excitement really got channeled towards business, I don't know, probably like 15 years ago or so. And what I've realized is most entrepreneurs that I've come in contact with go about doing their thing with massive amounts of trial and error and just hoping that something is going to work instead of recognizing that every level of success in every area of life imaginable has rules of the game and there's ways to become better at it. And so that's really what I'm excited about sharing with people is how to systemize that game.
I appreciate that because I know for me, I've always looked at, it's why I'm so fascinated about business. The same type of thing that you just mentioned is it is a game. And I think what I love you just made mention of is too often people kind of go into this haphazardly, like, you know what? I've got this passion. I got this idea. Maybe I'll try this, and there's such a huge difference between having a product and having a business. And I think, so there's nothing wrong with having a product and having a product lifestyle and doing it. There's nothing at all wrong with that. And we have a lot of people inside of our ClickFunnels community who do just that. Yeah. And then at the same time, we've got over 360 people now have done over $1 million inside of a sales funnel. I know you coach quite a few of them. We've got over 26 people who now have done over 10 million. And at that point, once you start getting to those dollar amounts, you've got something substantial going on. And the part that I love most about what you teach and people you work with is to see how fast they can get there. How fast, if they really focus on the game, the speed at implementation, as they really focus, they actually are able to accelerate the growth that most people can't. It's like hiring a good coach in athletics. And we talk about the game, and I think so often there's so many comparisons to fitness. And we were just joking about how sore your legs are from begged you and beating you up, doing a million lunges and barbell squats and all that stuff. But again, it's all part of the game. So with that, I want you to kind of dive in. What are some of the key components? What are some of the rules to the game that you found as you've worked with? I mean, you're working with some amazing, amazing companies.
Yeah, well, I've been very fortunate to have had those opportunities and then to help other people create great results. But I think one of the things that I've been recognizing a lot lately, and this is you know, stuff that's going in the book, and it's stuff that I've been really teaching people recently, is that no matter how big the business is, like, because I've worked with, you know, solopreneurs all the way up to, you know, my experience in working with companies that have hundreds of thousands of employees. And every single company has five pillars that are present, even if you don't immediately identify them. And consciously being aware of those five pillars is so important for how you manage the business and how you manage the growth. And those pillars are not going to sound like anything like crazy to anybody, but they're marketing, which is getting people to raise their hands and say, hey, I'm interested. It's sales, getting people to shake hands and say, yeah, let's do this together. Delivery, giving people the thing that they paid you for. Operations, which is the glue that keeps everything working together and the gears that keep everything moving. And finance, which is simply making sure that we're measuring how much money we're making, we understand the health of the business, right? And I think, like, at the early stages of growth, everything feels very mushed into like one giant blob. Like, I just got to do something to make more money, right? And that's true to a certain extent in terms of getting sales traction in the marketplace, but you really need to identify these five pillars and understand what things you need to do in each one of those pillars in order to continue to grow the business and create an asset that works for you. And we have this thing we call the traffic light rating system, and it's red, yellow, and green. And so we look at each one of those five pillars and we say, okay, well, where is it, red, yellow, or green? Red is that there's no systems in place. Everything takes a ridiculous amount of work and effort to get something out the door. The results are inconsistent. We don't know when we're going to get a result. Yellow, we might have some of the core components of a system, people, processes, and tools being developed, but they're not working together yet. And so we're making progress, but our results are still a little bit sporadic. And then green, which is when we have people and we have processes and we have tools and all of them are working together. That's when we get leverage as a business owner, right? When we have things at green. And so what we've been able to do very quickly is say, we've got these five pillars and each one of them can be red, yellow, or green. And almost in 5 minutes, we can say, here's where the business is in trouble and here's where they're doing really well. And here's what we need to focus on next and where we need to put systems in order to get this thing to the next level. And it's almost become like this very high level, your entire business on one sheet of paper, like overview at a very zoomed out level. Like, what do I need to focus on in order to get to the next level? It's been very, very cool.
So if a person is listening to this going, okay, so now I understand my five pillars. And when they start looking at that red, yellow, and green, what are some of the things they can do to kind of get started right now and say, there's obviously, if I have a system, that's one thing, but what are some more of the details? What's the nitty gritty stuff they need to be looking at as far as, and I think if you don't mind, clarify for people the difference between marketing and sales. For some reason, I talk to a lot of people and it always gets so muddied up. So if you don't mind kind of clarifying that as well.
Yeah, for sure. So super high level. And I think sometimes it gets a little bit muddier when you're talking about online sales. But marketing is what generates interest, right? Marketing is what hooks people and causes them to say, hey, I want to find out more, right? And sort of leads them into the funnel. In terms of online sales, marketing is like the advertising that gets people to the funnel. Marketing is the thing that, you know, the social posts, like the paid ads, like all those things that are generating interest that get the click, that get people to go where we want them to go. Sales is where we close the deal, right? Sales is when people go from saying, hey, I'm interested, to yes, I want to do this with you, right? And so, you know, so this is what's so amazing about ClickFunnels, is that we can get, you know, all of that traffic, all of that interest to basically our online salesman, which is, you know, the funnel. And that's where we close the deal. You know, if you have an offline sale, it's going to be, you know, your marketing is going to be something that generates the lead, but your salesperson is going to be the guy that closes the deal. And I think that those two things are very complementary and they go hand in hand, but they're not one and the same. They're different, and you require different things to create a great advertising campaign as opposed to building a great sales funnel, right? Those are going to require two different skill sets, potentially two different groups of people, but you need both of them in order to convert the interest into dollars in your bank account.
So if I've got, again, I remember when I first got started, I was the solopreneur. And I remember when I hired my first employee, it was like the biggest stress in my life. It was supposed to be freedom. And I'm like, I got to pay for this person. I found myself working. And so help me understand, when I'm looking at this red, yellow, green, if, and again, you can pick whichever size company you want, but if, let's, in fact, I'll just kind of, let's say that they're already making sales, so they're not starting. They're at the six-figure level. We've hit that six-figure club, but we're sitting there between, we'll just call it between 80,000 and 150 or 200,000.
Sure.
That seems to be where a lot of people get stuck. It's like, it's a good enough lifestyle by myself, but if I want to start bringing other people in, how do I start creating systems? And where does that red, yellow, green come in? Because as far as marketing, I might have outsourced my Facebook ads and I'm paying $2,000 or $3,000 a month to have someone run those. I've got my sales funnel up. But as far as ops, I really don't have operations. And where I'm looking at as far as my finances, it's basically, maybe QuickBooks, or I'm hiring some accountant on the side who doesn't really know my business. Mm-hmm. Help me understand. I know we have a lot of our listeners who are in that range.
Yeah.
Help them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question. So using that five pillars framework and the red, yellow, green, the person that you're describing, their marketing might be at yellow or green, right? Their sales might be at yellow or green, but their delivery and their operations could potentially be at red, right? Meaning that if we just continue to pour more and more sales into this thing, eventually we're going to crumble under the stress of the sales that we're producing, right? That I don't have a consistent structure to deliver on those sales, and I don't necessarily have a way of operating my entire business that supports all of the sales that are coming in. And so we'd say, okay, if you're at, yellow or green in marketing and you're red on delivering operations, the goal is to continue to grow the business, right? But in order to grow the business, we've got to remove the things that are standing in our way of growing the business, right? Like sometimes it's not just about applying more force. It's about creating more bandwidth. And that's what needs to be done in that particular case. And so we'll say, all right, great. So what we need to do is we need to figure out how do we increase our input, our throughput, right? And that would be a system that helps us operate more effectively. And in my way of seeing things, a system is the combination of people and processes and tools and all of those things working together. So, if we're talking about the solopreneur who's got a pretty good life, making, six figures or something like that, and they say, yes, I do want to get to the next level. Part of that is going to require people. But like you said, in your experience and my experience at the beginning as well, hiring those people is not only like expensive, but it's extremely stressful because you're like, what do I tell them to do now? Right? You're just like, oh my God, now I have people that are looking at me, asking me what to do. And so the way that I think about it is we need to put systems in place first and then hire people to plug into those systems so that they're not disorganized when they actually start working for us. And I didn't always recognize this. Like, in my corporate days, I had a big team, but I wasn't the one who had to put the systems in place. I just was lucky enough to just manage a bunch of people and that was it. And then I got out on my own and I was like, all right, let me just start hiring people. And it was like herding cats. It was like a complete mess. And so I very quickly realized that until I could have a coordinated way of telling people what to do and making sure that they do it and them being able to know what was expected of them, it was going to be really difficult. And so hiring people, is one of the key parts of building a system. And that's, first and foremost, like, what do I want to give that person to do? What is their role going to be? What are their responsibilities going to be? If I just hire somebody hoping that they're going to come in and read my mind and improve my situation, like, I'm going to be disappointed and that person's going to be frustrated and we're going to have a massive disconnect. Right? So we need to be clear on what their role is, what their responsibilities are going to be. And it sounds crazy obvious once you hear it, but in the moment of all the stress and overwhelm of trying to figure this out, you don't recognize that you need to ask yourself, how am I going to know that this person is successful? Like, what does good look like? Right? And taking a short amount of time up front to figure out those things will lead to a much smoother onboarding process and a much more fulfilling relationship with that person in the long run, because you actually know what slot in the company you're trying to fill them in. And I don't think a lot of people take the time to do that. And it winds up costing them a ton of money that they don't really have to, they don't have to have that kind of experience if they take 10 minutes and they plan things out a little bit better ahead of time.
You know, I love that. It's one of the things I enjoyed when we were working with you here at ClickFunnels was the interview process. We did a lot of hiring when you were here consulting with us. And you're extremely good in the hiring process. And I think part of that goes back to what you were just referring to. As far as you're really, one of the things I love about you, James, is you're so awesome at creating a framework. And I think it not only, it makes it easier for the person who's doing the hiring, but it also makes it so much easier for the person who's coming on board. There's nothing more frustrating than, in fact, I was just talking to the person we hired to run a lot of our coaching, our speaking team. And, you know, it was late last night and he was leaving the office and he'd been talking with Russell, and Russell said, you know, Dave, his biggest concern is he doesn't want to let you down.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, if he's saying that, then I think it's great, but it also, the first thought I had was, I probably haven't given him enough of an outline as far as what his real job is. Mm. And he shouldn't be feeling that way if he knows that this is my expectations. And so I thought last night and this morning, I've got to do a better job of making sure he knows exactly what's expected of him, because there's nothing more frustrating for someone who's trying to do a good job and not know what they're being measured up against.
Yeah.
And you've just always been so awesome at creating that framework. So we've talked before quite a bit, James, about this whole idea as far as companies who are at, it's either 1, 3, or 7. It's 100,000, 300,000, 700,000, it's 1 million, it's 3 million, it's 7 million, it's 10 million. It seemed to be, those are some of the big barriers where you have to stretch and you grow during those transitions. But part of that really comes in this hiring process and in the framework that you've always built around that. So if a person's out there and they're hiring their first, their second, their third, or their fourth person, which for most of our clients, most of our people inside of ClickFunnels, their teams are usually under 10.
Right.
And so those hires are really super critical because it's not uncommon. They're wearing multiple hats.
Mm-hmm.
What is the system that you've created that helps people really identify what those roles and those responsibilities are? Because for a lot of the solopreneurs, they've just been doing it all and they just expect everyone's going to know how to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And nobody is a mind reader, right? much to my extreme disappointment. nobody knows how to read your mind. And until they figure out how to do that sort of technology, we're all sort of stuck with us as people, and we're all, you know, imperfect and, trying to do the best we can for the most part. And so I think the first thing, Dave, that, is where I look, it's top down. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but if I go back to the five pillars in the red, yellow, green, and I know I'm red at marketing and I'm red on sales, I'm going to be looking for a different person than if I'm green on marketing and I'm red on delivering operations. So like, first of all, figuring out, well, like, where is the need inside of the organization in order to get the whole company to get to the next level so that we're not just sort of arbitrarily figuring something out. I think that's the first thing, right? And so let's just say, you know, we're looking for somebody in sales. Maybe we need a salesperson, right? Like, I just recently hired a full-time sales guy and went through this exact thing myself. And so I'm looking at saying, all right, great. I have a need for the sales role, right? And here's what that person is going to be responsible for. They're going to be responsible for following up with all of our leads. They're going to nurture the people who fill out applications. They're going to make sure that everyone who does buy, you know, they follow up with them a certain amount of time afterwards so that we have an upsell opportunity, right? Like, I'm very clear on what I want that person to do. And then we say, all right, great. How am I going to know whether that person is successful? And we have to set metrics in place, right? Like, you can't measure anything if you don't have a measurement by which to kind of stack it up against. And it's not always the easiest thing to figure out the metric, but it's important, right? So for this role in particular, sales role, I think is sometimes a little bit easier. you know, what's our conversion rate, right? Like, what's our close rate that we're getting? And what do I expect us to get? And maybe my expectation is crazy because I'm overly optimistic, but at least we have an expectation and then we can sort of calibrate between what's actually happening and that expectation. And that really goes regardless of whatever role it is. And so like the guy that you're hiring to work on the speaking team, right? How many speaking engagements do you expect him to have a month? What kind of conversion rate do you expect him to have when he's going out and doing the presentations, right? And all of those things. And so, you know, your role is you're the speaker, you know, the roadshow speaker for ClickFunnels, and your responsibilities are X, Y, Z, et cetera. Measures of success. This is how I'm going to measure you, right? And like those three things alone at least start to get us in the ballpark of how we're going to define success in that relationship. And one of the things that's so important is that one of my early mentors had this great quote that I absolutely love. He said, "All upset comes from unmet expectations." And I think that goes on both sides, right? Like if you're expecting this guy to go out there and crush it, but you haven't defined what crush it means, and he's expecting to go out there and crush it, but he has a totally different expectation. He's like, "Dave, I did 17 presentations this month and we got 5 sales." You're going to be like, "What on earth is going wrong out there?" Right? But maybe he's excited about it. And there's like a massive disconnect, and that upset is going to come from those expectations that were never aligned. And so I think one of the things that I see is so rare is just the desire for clear and direct communication. And you know me well enough to know that I'm a pretty direct communicator. And I'm not beating around the bush, and I'm not saying there's not other valid styles of communication, but in terms of making sure everybody is on the same page, just make sure everyone's on the same page and don't be afraid about, you know, setting those expectations and letting other and creating the space for other people to debate whether those expectations are realistic. Because then at least you get to a common ground on which to manage that relationship against. And I think that's a huge thing that, you know, that the greatest leaders among us are the ones who have the clearest expectations for the people that are working for them. And, that I think not only helps us as entrepreneurs and business owners and in leading our companies, but it also provides a tremendous amount of security and confidence for the people that are working for us, because they know when they're meeting the expectation and they know when they're not. And they don't ever have to wonder like, "Oh man, is James upset with me?" Or like, "Does Dave think I did something wrong?" or anything like that, because we're really setting those expectations up front. And then we're revisiting them on a regular interval, right? Like think about, when we were in grade school, if you never got a report card until you graduated eighth grade, and then your eighth grade teacher is like, "You know what, Dave? You sucked for the last 8 years. Sorry, we're going to have to hold you back." You'd be like, "Why didn't you tell me sooner?" Right? Like you'd be upset. And we don't, I think in the workplace, we don't recognize the need to give each other feedback frequently enough according to what our measurements of success are. And it doesn't just, it's not just a negative thing for the employee. It's a negative thing for us as employers too, because we're not maximizing the investment that we're making in that person. And, you know, and to quote Warren Buffett, he said, "Our job as business owners is to be the allocator of resources. And the most valuable resources we have are people. And if we're not maximizing the investment we're making in those people, then that means we're losing money." And like nobody wants to lose money, but it's not as easy to see as some of the other things that are happening inside the business. So that's probably a pretty long-winded answer, but it's definitely one of the areas that I'm passionate about is how do we set up the game in order to get the most out of the people that are helping us? Because if we're hiring good people, that's probably what they want to do anyway.
I love that. I think it's, you've become literally the master at systematizing the game. And I think as I look at your framework, as far as those five pillars and the red, yellow, green, I know for myself, especially when I first got started, there was a lot of times where I set people up for failure, and I did get frustrated a ton because I was like, gosh, why can't you just figure this out? And yeah. I'm like, you know what? Not everybody is an entrepreneur, and not everyone is. And again, that's why I know you're a master at understanding the whole 16 personalities and understanding people. And I think that for me has been one of the things I've appreciated and I've learned so much from you, James, is really understanding how best to work with people and realizing that a lot of the people who come to work for us, what they want is security. They yeah. want stability. They want to know that they're going to be safe and they're being protected. And I think that the best way of doing that is setting them up to succeed by giving them very, very clear expectations. It's, again, goes back to your red, yellow, green, or even your grade report card type of thing. When you know what the grade is, I then know I can either apply more effort or I can coast a little here or whatever, wherever you might be. But for me, as I've looked at the way you've done that, I'm fascinated by the way you are able to really spend a whole bunch of time allocating human resources. Probably one of your greatest skill sets that I've appreciated as I've seen you work with other companies is really helping people to understand that is the most important piece of capital any business owner has. I mean, it really, really is. I know we talk so much about marketing dollars, your sales dollars, all that. Nothing's more important than the people. Mm-hmm. And you can get those people to, and we spent a whole bunch of time focusing on, you know, our ClickFunnels culture as well as our own employee culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that as I take a look at what you've done, I hope people really take time and go back and listen to this because the framework of those five pillars is so critical as a business owner. And then as you go through the red, yellow, and green and rate those, you then know where you need to look at what is the human capital I need to invest in to systematize and make that thing work. So again, I appreciate so much your skill set in doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. I think, you know, we as entrepreneurs have a very peculiar mindset and way of being in the world, right? It's not, statistically speaking, it's not normal. Like we are not normal, right? We are the outliers, and you know, maybe 3% of people really are entrepreneurs. That means the other 97% are not. And when we come at them like, "Hey, you should be an entrepreneur like me," we're sort of fighting that whole trend instead of just embracing what is a beautiful ecosystem where certain people want to take more risk, certain people want to have, you know, different things and do different things. And other people just want something that's different. And for us as business owners and entrepreneurs to be able to create a place where those people are not just welcome, but appreciated for who they are and what they bring to the table and how they can be part of that larger contribution, I think is something that we miss out sometimes by wishing people were more like we are. And I know I've been there, and now I'm sort of of a totally different mindset. I'm happy that there's not everybody crazy like you and me, you know?
I agree with you completely. It's kind of funny you mentioned that. We were working here late last night, and one of the guys, you know, who works for me, we were literally having this conversation. DISC came up and 16 personalities came up, and he was sitting there saying, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur so bad, and yet I just don't have a real high D, but I've got this huge economic drive. And I'm like, just because you have a huge economic drive doesn't mean that you have to be an entrepreneur.
No.
And I think at times people get that confused. You don't have, there's a lot of ways of fulfilling a lot of your other values in your life than having to be an entrepreneur. And I know that right now this whole entrepreneurship thing seems to have been glamorized quite a bit. And when you and I both started, it wasn't that way. It was the kids who basically couldn't get a job. I remember even talking about Yacht and her first feelings about you as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy obviously can't make any money. But I think it's, I appreciate what you've mentioned there, that you can't expect everybody. Unfortunately, not everyone is that way. And yeah. It allows people that opportunity of working for you. So as we get kind of close to wrapping things up here, as a person who's going to go from being that solopreneur or from just one or two people to that 5 to 10, it's a big change once you get to that 5 to 10 range. What are some of the things, you start wearing more of a management hat. Any yeah. suggestions you could give to those who are in that situation becoming more of a manager?
Yeah. Well, the number one thing you've got to recognize is that your contribution is not going to be as much the doing of the thing anymore as it is the setting the stage for the other people to do the thing. And that's not the easiest transition to make. So I think like just understanding that mindset that the more you grow and the bigger your team gets, the more you're going to be responsible for being the conductor of the orchestra, as opposed to the violinist. And you might be an amazing violinist, but if you're staying in the chair playing the violin the whole time and there's nobody conducting the orchestra, then the orchestra is going to sound like crap. And so you've got to be able to make that transition. And I know for me, you know, with a lot of the, you know, operating systems that we put in place, it's specifically designed so that I can give people things to do and they can take tasks and they can work on projects and objectives and initiatives and have ownership of those things, but I can still oversee what everybody is working on. And you know, you look at a company like McDonald's, and their processes are so well defined, right? That they're not just hiring the 16-year-old kid who wants to work part-time while he's going to high school and saying, Hey, come on in and just sort of make burgers and do whatever you want. And hopefully it all comes together. They have like all these processes that are defined, and they plug that person into those processes. And I think that's what we need to do too. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I don't have time to do that. Right. And I'm too busy with all the other things going on. And it's so cliche, but it's so true. If you don't make time to work on your business, you will always be stuck working in your business. And I believe that whether you're one person trying to expand to 2, 5 people trying to expand to 10, or 100 people trying to expand to 200, you need to have dedicated time where you're working on your business in order to build those systems to pull people in and make sure that the processes are right, make sure that they have the right tools to be able to do their job, to make sure you have the right job descriptions and measurements of success and everything in place. And it's so incredibly critical to build, you know, as you grow, to be the person who's building the structure for those systems so that everybody else can do their job well, and that you can measure how well those jobs are being done. And, you know, Google is just a great example of how they've grown over the years with this concept of 80% of their time is spent on doing things that are going to generate revenue today and that are current projects. And 20% of their time is spent on things that aren't sanctioned projects that are just specifically designed, hopefully, to make the company better in the future. And, you know, in a 5-day work week, that means 4 days of the week, people work on things that are on the books. And one day it means they work on things that aren't. Gmail came out of that paradigm, right? Like somebody was just like, oh, like I'm going to try and create a web-based mail. And then it started taking off and they turned it into a real project. And I'm not saying that entrepreneurs have the luxury at first of spending one full day a week on working on their business, but you can't tell me, like, I believe it would be a bold-faced lie to tell me and to look in the mirror and tell yourself, I don't have 30 minutes a week to carve out to work on my business, right? And do it. And maybe that 30 minutes becomes an hour and that hour becomes an hour and a half over time. But if you're not working on your business, like, you're never going to really make the kind of progress that you want to, because the business requires a leader to oversee the entire thing. And that's part of what it means to be an entrepreneur and to grow a company, is to be the person who steps into that role.
Wow. I can't tell you. I heard that years ago and I wish I would have listened to it, because for the longest time I kept thinking, I don't have time to work on my business. That's a luxury. And it wasn't until I forced myself.
Yeah.
That, and again, you may find you take it, you may lose a little bit of money in the beginning when you do that. But as you take that step back, it actually propels you 5 to 10 steps forward. And again, I hope, I wrote it down just because you always have these words of wisdom I'm always writing down. And that's one of them. I just love that. If you don't take the time to work on your business, you will always be working in your business. And man, James, that for me was probably the biggest mistake I made in my 20s and early 30s, was I just kept thinking, I'll just keep put more time into it. and thinking that by putting more time in, magically some system was going to appear that was going to take me out of it. And it never, ever did.
It doesn't. And it doesn't. And we, like, we're driven people as entrepreneurs. And so therefore we think the only way to get a result is by applying more force. And it's not. Like, the real way to get what we want is by figuring how to create leverage, and systems create leverage. And, like, think of it this way. If you're, you know, let's say you got, you know, a really nice sports car. It's, you know, 6-speed manual transmission. Not that too many people have manuals anymore, much to my disappointment. But but if you step on the gas in first gear and you refuse to shift gears and all you do is keep your foot to the floor, like, you're only going to go so fast. You have to let your foot off the gas just a touch to be able to shift into second, so you go faster, and then into third, and so on. And it's the same thing when we're driving our businesses. We have to be willing to sacrifice just a tiny, tiny little bit of our maximum output to create the space so that we can get to the next level and we can switch gears and actually go that much further once we switch gears.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I just got to take one more note here. No, I love the analogy. I've seen that happen so many times in my own personal life. And again, I appreciate so much your time. Your friendship means the world to me. It's nice having you here in Boise as well. We're both transplants, yes. But it's been fun. So thanks again, James. Any other parting words? Oh, by the way, first of all, I want to make sure people know where to get you. So can they connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So they could just go to my website, jamespfriel.com. That's F-R-I-E-L. So just jamespfriel.com. And they can find out about, there's some free downloads there. There's a ability to check out our podcast, which is a lot of fun, and a whole bunch of other things. And if they want to connect, that's probably the best place to go.
Awesome. James, any other parting words before we let you go?
No, just really appreciate being here with you today, Dave. Thanks for letting me share. Always fun to connect. And, I look forward to, you know, seeing people take this stuff and really apply it. Like, that's really what gives me a lot of fulfillment, is when people actually take action. So if you guys are listening to this today, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge monumental thing, but take action on a little bit of something and your business will be better off for it. And I'm sure your life will be too.
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much, bud. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you don't mind, could you please share this with others? Rate and review this podcast on iTunes. It means the world to me. Where I'm trying to get to is 1 million downloads here in the next few months. And we've just crushed through over 650,000. And I just want to get that next few 100,000 so we can get to 1 million downloads and see really what I can do to help improve and get this out to more people. At the same time, if there's a topic, if there's something you'd like me to share or someone you'd like me to interview, by all means, just reach out to me on Facebook. You can PM me. And I'm more than happy to take any of your feedback, as well as if there's people you'd like me to interview, I'm more than happy to reach out and have that conversation with you. So again, go to iTunes, rate and review this, share this podcast with others, and let me know how else I can improve this or what I can do to make this better for you guys. Thanks.